as Gerald has already mentioned, this is going to be a very different kind of day. It both includes some of the work that our congregation has been doing over the last months and year even. And also, it has a lot to do with taking these six persons who are being commissioned and to give them, a send-off, a reason to get going with the work that we've asked them to do. So it involves a number of things. There will be a sort of section for each person where there will be a sort of scripture, song. I'll say some things that I've generated during this week, and also a prayer. One of the board members will be coming offering a prayer, and there have been persons in the congregation who have been sanctioned to knit a prayer shawl, so that some of the prayers that have been gathered during this whole event will be sort of draped over the shoulders of the person being commissioned. So it has a different kind of flavor to it, this day does, and so I just sort of ask that you enjoy or take in the moments of the day. I've also have a seat reserved up here. In the email I sent out this week, I said it's the hot seat. And so I'm going to ask Jason to come first and sit in the hot seat. First of all, let's hear these words from Psalm 40, 1-3. I should probably also say that during the week I had asked each person being commissioned to, they could locate a scripture and or a song that has been part of the guiding part of their journey. And so the scriptures you hear today and the songs that you hear are coming out of that initiative. So,
Psalm 40, verses 1-3. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the desolate pit, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord.
I don't know for sure, but it seems to me that the role of minister of worship comes with both its bumps and its blessings. Blessings and bumps, and probably they will always be there. To be around when people begin to put their trust in the Lord, that will always be a blessing. The avenue of coming to that trust in the Lord can be the bumps. When I think of you, Jason, I think of a word that we don't use very often as Mennonites, and that is the word sacrament. And I am certainly out of my league in trying to describe it to you. But near as I can tell, it is a word meant to describe the active grace of God coming upon us. Some said it happens during baptism, some said it happens during communion, others said it happens when prayers are correctly spoken. In the centuries that are a little closer to us, it was thought that the graces of God come to when the preacher preaches, combined with a call to the altar, and if that has been your experience like it was for my dad, then so be it. And some have thought that the grace of God comes during worship, through rituals and musics, and if that is the case for you, then so be it. For others, the where's and when's of God have not been so tidy. Is it inside a church? Is it outside of Sunday, in silence, or in some other activity? Are we ever in control of God's activity? All these things can make for the blessings and bumps for the minister of worship. At my grandmother's funeral, we were invited to sing Victory in Jesus. And what struck me was not so much the song itself, but the deep fervor of those old folks as that song was being sung. The generation of my grandparents seemed to own that song in their hearts, like it was a window into God's grace. Singing along with their fervor made that day holy for me. After visiting our daughter-in-law's church a couple of times, she wondered why I hadn't been singing during their worship set. And I said to her, I didn't know the songs. And her response to me was a little curt, but a little defensive, I thought. She said, well, there are songs. Which I suppose is an indicator of how deeply personal music can become. We come to own our songs and our souls, and when they become a window of God's grace, why would we? My first year of pastor was in 1996, and the blue hymnal had just been out a few years, and I suggested at Lakeview that we use it and purchase it. And one gentleman came to me one Sunday to register his dissent. He had gotten hold of a copy, paged through the whole book, tabulated the songs we knew and the songs that we did not know, and his quibble was that we only knew one-third of them, which left two-thirds, or most of the songs that we did not know, not worth it, he said. Now, being a person for whom memorization has not always been good, has been sketchy, I was amazed at how quickly came my retort. And it was straight out of the Psalm 40 that you have chosen, Jason. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. A new song, it's in the Bible, I said to this man, in a tone of voice that a green pastor might use. So this role of minister of worship comes with its blessings and its bumps. For Marion, you have essentially over 100 customers, people with moments of God's grace that they are holding dear to their hearts, gathered together with people whose faith comes with dings and dents and are looking for a dose of God's grace to re-enter. Blessings in your work among us as you tend to our windows of worship in its calendar days, in its rituals, in its music, and its prayers. Our windows of the worship of our Lord.
Let's bow our heads. Lord, you have gifted and called Jason to serve this church. You have given him a passion for worship, and we have already benefited from his service. We are thankful that he has graciously accepted to take an even larger step to serve as the minister of worship. Let the words that we're about to sing ring true and give him the guiding strength and leadership needed. In the song Jason has chosen, it says, "To worship you, Jesus, is my sole desire. For this very heart, you have shaped your pleasure. Purpose to lift your name higher. I am your servant, come to bring you glory, as it is fit for the work of your hands." And so we recognize Jason for his heart for praising you and leading others to do the same, and pray that you continue to bless his ministry here at Marion. Amen.
I'd like to invite Jen up to the hot seat. Jen is going to be our minister of outreach and service. She has chosen a scripture reading from Matthew and also the song Helpless and Hungry. Join with her in both this scripture and this song.
When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the shepherd at his right hand and the goats on left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick and in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." Then he will say to those at his left hand, "You that are accursed, depart from me into eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they will answer, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you? Then he will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life.
Jen, I know that coming to the front is completely out of your comfort zone. Welcome to the no comfort zone. But just give us a few minutes. My office may seem like the most ordinary of places, and most days it is. Over the last several years, you have poked your head through my door a few times to talk, sometimes until lunch. You come in quietly, for intrusive is not your manner. People do not see Jen and immediately think fanfare and hoopla. And yet, here you are, being commissioned as a minister of outreach and service. During those office conversations, I've learned several things about you, and here are three of them. You have been honest with me about your faith scars, that you carry a few of them, and that it takes time, even years, to sort and mend. Yet, what you now have is some faith experience, a little wiser for the wear, a lot wiser for the wear. Two, it has been years by now, but back in the 1990s, the EMHS choir came to my home church at Lakeview, and they sang this song, I Am My Grandfather's Dreams. The lyrics of the song having to do with the hopes that get passed along through generations of family. As we have talked, one thing that you have been candid about was the part that your parents played in your life, the robust energy that your mom infused your family, the quiet thoughtfulness of your dad, and how both of them took their Christian faith out of the doors of Diller's Church and into the parts of the world that didn't look so good. Grass-rooted their faith, it might be said. You are aware of what has been passed to you. What I am not so sure you always know is that you are now doing the exact same thing, you and Mark passing your faith along to your kids' grandfather's dreams. And the third one is this. The third thing I have learned about you over time is that, and this is the only image that I can come up with, is that you are a kind of barn swallow Christian. That is, that you live in a house, but you have a great contentment for the out of doors. Eagles may have their place and their grandeur, but you fly closer to the ground, close like a swallow dipping over a pond at dusk. The distance between you and earth, not that great. The distance between church and school, not that great. The distance between you and human need, not that great. You fly close to the ground, as does your spirituality, along with your sensitive nature. There is a mention of the least of these, those that dot every landscape across God's green earth, but this scripture has a quieter ring to it, even to the point where those doing righteous things did not even know that they were doing righteous things, which I think you are cut out to do. Jen, this day of commissioning is to sum up these God things we see at work in you and to encourage another step in the direction of his service. We simply ask that you keep your sensitive spirit close to the ground where it needs to be, and when the time comes where you need to kick us Marianites in the pants a bit to see what you do, that you are commissioned to do that. We want you to do that too. I don't knit, but I got wind of the fact that those doing the knitting were praying much of the time that they were knitting. So I want that to be a memory that is planted within you as you begin to go forward from here. You carry the prayers of the congregation with you. Pray with us. Lord, as is so often the case in what we read in Scripture, is often the least likely persons are brought forward to do your work in ways that seem surprising. Those things float around in my mind as we are commissioning Jen today, that she features herself as one who does not want fanfare, who is humbled to do her work and does not want much credit for it, and seems very much the case that she understands that the Lord is at work through her, both in the mending of her spirit and whatever it is that she purports to do. We simply ask that you, from this day forward, give her the confidence and the courage, carrying the prayers and the goodwill that Marian has. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Ray Geigle. Ray is being called to be our minister of discipleship. He has given this scripture as one that he would prefer to be read. I'll say a few words and then we're going to sing the song that you suggested.
Colossians chapter 1, verses 25 to 29. I became its servant according to God's commission that it was given to me for you to make the word of God fully known, the mystery that has been hidden throughout the ages and generations, but has now been revealed to his saints. To them, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is he whom we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone in all wisdom, so that we may be present, everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil and struggle with all the energy that he has powerfully inspired within me.
Ray, so how old are you? 80? In all those years, how many times have you been chosen, installed, commissioned, selected, licensed, hired, ordained, or otherwise set to work? Quite a few, seems like. And yet you keep on going. It first appeared decades ago, the television commercial featuring the Energizer Bunny. The little pink Energizer Bunny with sunglasses that keeps on beating its drum, keeps on going and going and going and going. And the commercial was, of course, for the strength of the batteries inside the pink bunny as it darted to and fro and never stopped. And so we wonder what it is that makes you and keeps you going. I had sent out the email a couple of weeks back inviting each minister to identify a scripture lesson and a song or a hymn that might connect with their soul, their faith experience, and this day of commissioning, and you sent me something more akin to a catalog. Fourteen scriptures, six songs, and you said, here they are, you pick. Should we not be surprised? For you, as minister of discipleship in mind, I went ahead and chose off that list of 14 these words from Colossians 1, especially for two sentences, for they have everything to do with your role. First sentence, in Christ, it is Christ we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone in all wisdom, so that they may present everyone mature in Christ. That's a disciple sentence. It is the proclaim part, the telling part, the saying part, using the Bible and other appropriate means to teach Christ and to recognize that disciples come in so many stripes and with a ton of differing maturities, that disciples will learn, are learning, have learned, will need to relearn some things again, for as an 80-year-old man, you know life itself can be a great teacher, that not everything can be learned in one day, that a daily routine can be stalled by tragedy, that an innocence can be taken away and despair left in its wake, that not everything in life can be perfectly understood, that legalism's firm grip can be softened by love, and that there's always more to explore in the realm of making disciples. Then there is the second sentence from Colossians 1, which, I don't know, seems to have your personal initials written in the margins. For this I toil and struggle with all of the energy that is powerfully inspired within me. We're going to sing one hymn of the six that you had suggested. It's an old one with an Irishy tune and some old Englishy words, an old hymn, go figure, but such a good one, for it also keeps an eye to the future. For although it may be labeled hymn number 545 in the Blue Book, it just might become more of a sacrament when it is sung, channeling the powers from above into our souls below. Be thou my vision, number 545 in the Blue Book.
Will you pray with me? God, you have called your servant Ray to lead us during this season to be our minister of discipleship. But he has been faithful for many years in many different roles, loves you, loves the church, his family, cares deeply about Dottie and his children and grandchildren. And though he has the energy of a 35-year-old and the joy that is an example to all of us, that joy is not without pain and suffering in his life. But he has been faithful. An example to us of what discipleship is about. As he challenges us to be disciples making disciples, to bring new and fresh ideas to our congregation and to our individual lives of what it means to be a disciple during this time. We pray your blessing on Ray. Amen.
It was not long after we arrived here in the summer of 2012 that I began to hear the phrase, mama tissue. And at first, I thought it was cute, but as it turns out, the name is more true to form to you than just cute. More accurate, mama tissue, it is a name, it is a streak that you carry. Now, I have my own mama, her name is Miriam, but as a guy, I've had to learn and watch to see what mama really means, how deep it goes. The first lesson was the day as a kid growing up on a dairy farm, my dad sent me to the pasture to bring in a newborn calf, and I went. And when I approached the calf's mama, she lowered her head, snorted once with head down, and came after me. And I ran all the way back down to the barn and said to Dad in a huff, she tried to buck me. And Dad said, yeah, she was protecting. Mamas will do that. You'd better respect it. And I did. And then one day I saw Miss Connie do something. It was in the Scranton Central High School gym, and we were seated in the bleachers to watch our son Aaron wrestle. Now, for those of you who have no wrestling experience, it is a sport with 6 minutes of dodging and weaving and twisting and turning and takedowns and reversals and moves and counter moves, all under the careful eye of a referee with a whistle. A referee to signal points and to whistle when a move has become too dangerous. Well, it turns out Aaron's opponent that day was deaf. And during the match, he caught Aaron in an against the joint move and began to crank on that joint, and the referee saw it and immediately blew his whistle for stoppage, but a whistle does not stop a deaf wrestler. And he kept on cranking, and Aaron let out one of those primal wails, and then a nanosecond later, Connie was on the mat. In front of everyone. And that's just what every tough guy high school wrestler wants, to have his mama come onto the mat. His mama came onto the mat in front of everyone with a security guard on his way over. And so I learned another thing about mamas, that they have instincts that run very deep. Instincts to protect, but also for the care and well-being of persons in the best of their times and in the worst of their times. It turns out, when I asked later if he was embarrassed by his mama being on the mat, Aaron said it was nice to know that someone cared. Lisa, you carry a large dose of these mama things. It's how you got your name. Shows in your daughters and in other places too, where you work, where you teach, in your enthusiasm that runs very close to the surface most days. And there's another live rumor one hears when they go through the halls of this building. It's another innate gift that you seem to possess that not many other people have, for it seems that when you ask for volunteers, persons find it difficult, if not impossible, to resist what you request. Is that how you got Rod? Mama tissue, we do not know all of what will be up with you and our children, What we do know is that you will have their best interest in mind in your planning and in your crafting, and that as minister of children, their faith in Jesus will be both taught and caught. Because that is what mamas like yourself do quite naturally. You have brought to our minds the hymn number 6, hymnal worship book number 6, here in this place.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, who cares deeply for all people of all ages, you saw value in starting Jesus' ministry as a baby. There is great value in child development for preparing people for ministry. Thank you for Lisa's heart of compassion and love for children and strong desire to share her love of Jesus with the children here at Marion and to prepare them for their future ministry. Lord, we pray for wisdom as Lisa communicates her heart of ministry to the children and families here. We pray for Lisa's relationship with Christ, that it grows and deepens through this work and this role. We pray for spiritual protection for Lisa's family from the enemy. We pray for strength, energy, and health as she leads the children's ministry. We pray for Lisa, that Lisa will build relationships with other adults, including our new ministry team, children's ministry team, parents, and other children's ministers from other churches. We pray that Lisa is encouraged as you work in and through her in the lives of our children, our families, and the ministry volunteers here at church. Thank you, Lord, for Mama Tissue, and that her, we pray a blessing on this ministry with our kids. Amen.
Amen. Connie, welcome to the No Comfort Zone. To begin, hear these words from Genesis 16.
Genesis 16. Then Sarah mistreated Hagar, so she fled from her. The angel of the Lord found Hagar near a spring in the desert. It was the spring that is beside the road to Shur. And he said, "Hagar, slave of Sarah, where have you come from and where are you going?" "I'm running away from my mistress Sarah," she answered. Then the angel of the Lord told her, "Go back to your mistress." The angel added, "I will increase your descendants so much that they will be too numerous to count." The angel of the Lord also said to her, "You are now pregnant, and you will give birth to a son. You shall name him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard your misery." She gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her, "You are the God who sees me." For she said, "I have now seen the one who sees me."
Miss Pastor, wife Connie, when I asked you why you chose the Hagar story out of all of the others available in our thick Bibles, you said the Hagar story, it tugs at me. It tugs at me. And there are reasons for that, I suspect, more than one. It tugs at me as not so much a carefully researched choice of yours made by employing the tools of modern scholarship and interpreted through the current feminist lens as much as it links your personal experience with your gifting. It tugs at me. It means that it matters. There is a great audacity to be found in this story, and some that God care has been given is also in this story. And maybe that's where the tug comes from, that God can be surprising. For one thing, you've never been very tall. In family pictures and in yearbooks, you are down in front along with the other vertically challenged persons. It would be easy for you to believe that you have not been seen. Could that be why you might think that God might care about you, little you? I don't know. You were born into a family that did not speak the language of God, at least not in any polite sense of God words. You were drawn to faith by searching it out. You went with your cousins. You had to go looking for your faith. you had to go over to your cousin's house over there on the road to see what faith looked like in people. You told me one time that at a very young age you would begin to search for a Christian husband, and so you went looking away from your home on purpose. Maybe that's why the story tugs at you so much. Hagar was another woman who kept her eyes open as she was traveling. But then there's this. I once did a genogram of both our families and discovered a most interesting behavior on your side. That many of the women on your side of the family tree were saints who married doofuses. And who then spent the rest of their entire lives caring for their doofuses. Which does give me pause. Lots of pause. So maybe you come by your care genetically. I do not know where your God gifts come from. Your contentedness in the kitchen does not seem to stem so much for a patriarchal burden as it is a place where you generously create cookie gifts for your grandchildren and food gifts to share with those who have been injured, all the while you hum your satisfaction as you tinker. It was our Lakeview church that officially noticed it, your gifts of compassion and care. They said, not only do we notice these gifts, but they should be called out, they should be ordained. And so they did, just before we moved here. There's a most astounding thing to be found in this Hagar story. She has the audacity to come up with her own name for God. She did not take everyone else's word for it, but out of her own experience, she said, "You are the God who sees me." No small thing for a pregnant woman on the run. Since arriving here at Marion, it has been much the same what you so naturally do and what people naturally notice. And maybe it's because in Mennonite culture that tends to be so solemn and distant that your generous warmth is so readily felt among us. Or more likely, it's because you've been carrying this God gift all along and you keep practicing it quite naturally, and that really, care is not care until it is extended. This song you chose, Rain Down, puts this God cares thing to music, and we will sing it together. And who knows, maybe others will start naming their God experiences too.
God, I thank you for this gift that is Connie, this gift to our congregation, this woman who hugs bigger than her arm should reach, who has hands always looking to help, who has eyes that see the needs, and God, whose heart is bigger than the rest of her. I thank you for her, for the gift that she is to our congregation. I pray that as she enters into this new role, that she would continue to live out of the joy, the love, the peace, patience, the kindness, the goodness, the faithfulness, the gentleness, and the self-control that is the fruit of a spirit-filled life. God, I pray you give her energy for when the load is heavy. Give her courage for times of fear or frustration. Give her comfort as she mourns with those who suffer. God, I pray that you also give her times of rest, times when she can be refreshed, times when she has a song for her heart. God, help her to remember that she is just a conduit of the love that you have, and that this love that flows through her is from you, and there is an unending supply of that. So God, let her not be concerned with having enough energy or enough love, but to let her just continue to be this open conduit that flows. And God, I pray that your blessing would rain down upon her. We thank you for her and ask that you supply all her needs. In Jesus' name.
Dustin Dahl. To begin, let's hear these words from John chapter 15.
John 15, verses 1 through 11. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. But be assured you've already been cleansed by the word that I've spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. But if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I've said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full and complete.
So, Dustin, here's the thing. And I'm just passing this along as it was handed down to me. This comes from a man named Ben, an older man, an early mentor of mine, who was well-versed in helping congregations make pastor transitions. He said, when I sit in on congregational meetings, when I listen to all of what is being said, I realize that most congregations are looking for the whole ball of wax, the whole enchilada, the do-everything-well person, gifted in all aspects of the church, the top to bottom candidate. Ben said they're looking for Jesus. They really want Jesus to come back to earth and be their pastor. And he said, I end up having to tell them that Jesus is not presently to be found on my Rolodex. That was back then when everyone knew what a Rolodex was. So Dustin, if I may, a little Sunday snark. People at Marion already know you're not Jesus. Amen. We looked it up on Wikipedia. We looked up the pictures. Jesus had long hair, long brown hair, down over his shoulders, locks of perfectly combed hair. Jesus had a beard, and you're trying, I see. Jesus also wore a long, flowing white robe that accented his perfect 6'3" physique. Jesus had a long white robe that gently flowed in the breeze when he went walking about with his hands extended. It says so in the pictures. See, Dustin, people at Marion already know that you're not Jesus. We looked it up. End of Sunday snark. But here's the what else part. You do some Jesus-y things. You do, like people seem to gather around you. You tend to gather and to teach. You may be embarking on the more official role of teaching minister here, but you've been doing some of this stuff all along. You do it in your car with your kids, on casual Sunday morning sit-downs around here, in youth group and standing up here. This is not new. Jesus taught, and so do you. I would say another thing, and I'm not sure exactly how to put it, but you seem to have a good batch of social currency going on, a kind of social currency that reaches beyond this building to your neighbors and to your job sites, in language forms that can adapt to wherever it is you are at the time, into culture, into youth culture. I was talking to one of your former youth groupers one day, and I was telling them of my impressions of your youth gatherings, that you had this way of engaging issues of the days with them, which prepared them to leave home, to leave their home church, and to not be thrown off their feet after graduation. And this former youth grouper smacked their hand down on my desk and said, yes, that's it. So yeah, it's obvious. Jesus had some social currency, and you have some of that too. And then there is this scripture from John that you chose and was read for us about vines and branches, about staying connected to Jesus, not being Jesus, but to stay connected to Jesus, hook into the life that is Jesus. And if we stay connected to the life of Jesus, we will also begin to bear some of that fruit, which is a most amazing thing. One of the cool things that we saw on our Palestine trip were the olive trees in the Garden of Gethsemane. Olive trees so old that they dated back before Jesus was even born. No longer skinny vines or young whippets of trees, but these mature and stout and gnarled trees have weathered 2 millennia and they still get olives on them. Dustin, we at Marion are not asking you to be Jesus. We are asking you to keep us connected to his love, to abide in that old love, and to see what will happen next.
Let's pray together. God, you've joined us as a congregation, and you've called us into being. How good it is to see that this congregation unanimously supported this man as our teaching minister. Undoubtedly, this feels like an Esther, where Mordecai exhorts Esther and says, "Who knows, but you have come to this position for such a time as this." Father God, I'm grateful for Dustin's willingness to serve you. I look forward to his challenges for us to abide in you and to live for you. Also thankful for Blaine and his leadership and his continued willingness to walk alongside Dustin now as we transition over the next several months. So because Dustin is such a willing servant, I would pray that you would grant these things for him. First, may your word be a lamp unto his feet. Second, may you fill his well with energy, creativity. May you bring mentors and caregivers into his life to nurture and sustain him. May you provide protection from evil for him and his family. And last, that I pray for mindfulness for him of the many roles that he plays in life as a husband, a father, and now this. Pray that you would bring balance to all those things. Father God, I'm grateful for all those who stepped out as ministers today. It's just so important that we do not look at this today as being the end, but rather the beginning. May we all get behind each of them, work together with them to build your kingdom here in new and fresh ways. Thanks be to God.